You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. For the rest of the hour, an update on that bridge collapse in Minneapolis. Of course, the cause of the collapse is still unknown, but the bridge was one of over 70,000 bridges in the country rated as structurally deficient by the federal government. Joining me now to talk about it is Lowell Greiman. He's Professor Emeritus, Department of Civil Construction and Environmental Engineering at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. Welcome to the program, Dr. Greiman.
Thank you, Ira.
Well, tell me about the kind of construction and the era that bridge was built. A lot of bridges built back then in that type of construction.
Yes. Steel bridges in the middle 50s, 60s. And, yes, there's the truss under the deck kind of bridge that was in Minneapolis. There's other bridges that were, at the time, were built with less redundancy than they're probably built now, and sort of gotten away from that lately. But in that time frame, I think it's probably because they were cost a little bit less.
Mm-hmm. And easy to build.
More so, yes, fewer pieces.
Yeah, and they basically were truss. Tell us what that means. It's a bunch of, it looks like almost like an erector set.
Right. Yeah, a truss is a series of members in triangular arrangement that carries the forces from one member to the other member and eventually to the ground, so to the foundation. So, yeah, this was a truss. There's you also see girder bridges, but this one was a truss bridge that had a series of interconnected members mm-hmm. in a triangular form.
And so being built in the 50s, as you say, that was a whole different period of traffic back then.
Well, traffic, it probably was not designed for the volume of traffic. Typically, bridges, we can only see out 40, 50 years. Typically, they're designed for that sort of length of time, not necessarily designed to fail at 50, but you sort of think in terms of trying to make projections out that far. And the traffic changes and heavier vehicles, possibly faster speeds, I don't know, in this particular case, but we have increased the speed limits in some areas.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. What happens to a bridge that causes it to fail?
Well, there's several things can happen. A typical one, I suppose, in some bridges is that a crack gets started from some sort of small flaw or crack, starts to form, and then over a period of time it fatigues, it's called, where the crack continues to grow and eventually reaches a large enough crack that the entire member that the crack's in falls apart. I don't know if that's what happened here, but that would be one. The other, of course, is an accident. Somebody runs into it, a pier gets hit with a boat, or it's overloaded in some way. Somebody tries to take too big a load over the bridge, bigger than it was designed for. So those are some of the ways.
Mm-hmm. What about daily traffic? And, you go over some of these bridges and they feel like you can feel them bending up and down.
Right.
That constant bending, I know when you take a spoon and you bend it back and forth, it eventually breaks.
That's exactly right. It's a similar kind of phenomena going on in the metal or concrete of the bridge. Yes, eventually it will break. If you bend it back and forth far enough. I mean, on a bridge, usually it's not bent nearly that far, and it moves just a little bit. But over a period of many, 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 many years, and especially if there's some sort of crack to begin with, the crack tends to grow.
Mm-hmm. So after a period of years, when you say these bridges are 40, 50 years, they become high maintenance.
Yes.
Just looking for the faults in them.
Yep. You need to spend, and that's why they're inspected. Well, all bridges are, but particularly, yes, that's true. Yes, they need to be inspected and watched more and more carefully.
So is it better to build a new one or to try to shore up the older one?
Well, that's, of course, the ultimate question. If you knew the exact condition of the old one, then you could better assess that. New ones are very expensive. So you get a fixed amount of dollars, and you're trying to spread those as much as you can. And so it depends on the magnitude. In some, you will see both solutions. In some cases, they can repair a part of it that is isolated. In other places, it's just not economical. There's too much to repair, so they need to replace the entire bridge. That's situationally dependent.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Malcolm in Tuckerton, New Jersey. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi, all right. I love your show.
Thank
you. It's a favorite. Anyway, the reason I called, I do work in engineering. I make replacement joints for people. And the mystery of the bridge collapse is a very sad incident. Balancing the load, okay, that if there are discrepancies or striation fractures in the structure, that's one thing. If my understanding is one side of the bridge was being worked on, that meant the bridge was loaded in a not balanced fashion, so that if you walk up a ladder and stand all on one side, you're going to fall. Okay, and so this could have been a contributing factor, is the fact that all of the traffic, all the weight, was on one side of the bridge, and I haven't heard anything mentioned about that. I wonder if maybe some of your guests could examine that. And thank you very much. I love NPR. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Dr. Griman?
Yes. Well, again, it's in some way you're looking for the straw here. Most likely, things were going on. The crack was, I don't know if it was a crack, for example, but supposing it was, things were going on, and something, and maybe eventually something was going to happen. Now, whether the straw that did it could have been a construction unbalance, I suspect not. But it's just a total guess from my point of view. But it could have been just it was time. I don't know. But that's the thing about fatigue and that sort of thing. Just back to your spoon, you don't know if it's going to be the next bend or the bend after that, or a little bend or a big bend. But eventually, you get to the last bend.
Mm. Have bridges been, shut down after inspection and say this?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The structurally deficient business, for example, there's sort of a range from 0-4 is what you've been reading in the paper, which is one is sort of the first level or the lowest level of structural deficiency. It goes down to 0. Of course, at 0, you shut the bridge down. Oh, yeah. And other things like rerouting or closing the bridge or reducing speed on a bridge or reducing, putting on weight limits, several other options exist in there.
Could you explain that a little better? Because we've heard that there are thousands of bridges that are as rated as low as this one, and people are still using them.
Yeah.
What does the rating system mean? And can you explain? It's almost like a Richter scale here or something.
Well, it's a degree of damage, of structural damage. A 4, you're going to get different words on this, but a 4, in my mind, sort of means it's not the way it was built. Something's wrong here. It might not be big. It might not be worth shutting down the bridge. Maybe we need to reduce traffic. Maybe we need to we can fix it pretty soon. Maybe we just need to watch it, go watch it a lot more because it's not really going to fall down right now, but we need, or we call up an engineer and go out and look at it and do a more thorough analysis. That's sort of one level of structural deficiency. The other level, it's...
You go down to a 3.
What is or a 2 or a 1 or a 0. Yeah.
It just becomes degrees of fear that you have.
Yeah, right. It's trying to be some sort of reasonable measure about how important this is right now. Obviously, we don't have money to fix all the 4s.
So it's more like a political number. It's like our red and orange levels, our terror levels.
To some extent, yeah. I mean, there's several engineering calculations behind it, but... Mm-hmm. To some extent, you're right. After doing all the calculations, after looking at all the pictures, after examining and inspecting the bridge, somebody, and the engineer, looks at the information and makes a subjective judgment that, there's some things wrong here. I wouldn't call it political, but it's not. There's a bunch of science behind it, but there's also some judgment involved.
Yeah. Are these numbers available? If I want to look up a bridge that I use every day and find out it's a 2 instead of a 4, can I find that out?
Yes. I mean, I don't know how easy. I mean, it's public information. I don't know that all states have it computerized. For example, our local Des Moines Register today published a website where we can find all the bridges in our county. Now, I don't know if that's all accessible immediately, but yes, it's public information. The state DOTs will have it. You can get it from them. It might not be it probably is not on their website. I mean, it's probably not something you can just dial up and get real easily.
Yeah, is this the kind of tragic accident that's going to be news for 10 days and go away, and we're not going to worry about bridges anymore?
Who are we?
I mean, the public. I mean,
the public. Well, sure, you know that. I mean, they'll worry about spinach one day and infected pet food another day, and they'll go away. Yeah, sure.
I mean, because
for engineers, this will not go away for a long time. But there'll be different. I mean, there's going to be engineers looking at this for many years, and then diagnosing, trying to find better ways to. Mm-hmm. Look at things.
Well, you know, you hear figures like $140 billion, I heard today, to fix all the bridges. That sounds like a lot of money, but it's about 1 year in Iraq, you know.
Now you're talking politically. Yes, we have an interesting system in this country for prioritizing risks. And so ranging from the food we eat to the health we have to the bridges we have to your example of Iraq and terrorist risks. Yeah. How we prioritize and where we spend our money is an interesting process.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Tom in is it North Lake, Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's right.
How far from Minneapolis?
I'm actually just outside of Milwaukee. However, the winters here are very much similar, and I don't think there's any question that road salt is what caused that bridge to corrode and thus fail. And the amount of road salt that is used in these parts in the winter is really massive, and the corrosive effects on steel are unbelievable.
Dr. Griman.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't agree with him that this is certainly the cause. I mean, it could be a contributing factor. I wouldn't argue that, however. Yes, that's true. In the northern states, we use a lot of salt, and it does bad things to steel and other things, but in the case of a bridge to steel. And so you try really hard not to do that, and you try really hard to look at those areas that do end up being corroded when you do the inspection to see that there's still steel there to carry the load. But, yes, it happens in bridges. You see it a lot in bridges and other facilities.
Talking about bridges this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Dr. Lowell Griman, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Civil Construction and Environmental Engineering at Iowa State University in Ames. How do they build bridges differently now that they're not as vulnerable?
Well, alternate load paths, redundancy, some words like that. Typically, many bridges, if you look up underneath a girder bridge, you will see more than two girders. So in that time, there were other bridges that weren't trusses, but they were bridges with only two girders, deep girder, a beam, a long beam, anyway, big beam. And now I don't see that anymore. You see multiple girders. And so if one, in this case, for example, if there was four trusses instead of two, failure of one may not have had the whole thing fall down, or at the least more people may have gotten off before the other three went, or something like that. Redundancy, alternate paths for the load to get to the foundation.
What about these suspension bridges? We're seeing lots more of suspension bridges.
Yeah, again, they have redundancy. There are several hangers. I mean, the main cables, of course, are major, but there's several suspenders coming down from those, so if one broke, for example, the chances are small that the whole bridge is coming down.
Do you think that that engineers are going to find the cause of this collapse? How would they have to put the bridge together like they do in an airplane crash, reconstruct the body?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think if I was going to do it, I'd spend quite a bit of time looking at that Corps of Engineers film and try and isolate it. I've only looked at it for once, but it seems to me you could say, okay, probably there's only three or four areas that this could have started. And those areas are probably reconstructed and try to find the piece that failed first. What you're probably looking for is a piece that failed first, again, because of the type of construction of these things. Mm-hmm. More than likely, one failure of a major member initiated all the rest of the stuff that happened. Mm-hmm. And if you can find that one, and looking at the video would be a good start. You know, okay, you sort of look at it and say, looks like it maybe started here. And so, yeah, structure, or at least get it up and look at it and visually inspect it and see if you can detect a crack that might have been there.
So that won't be hard to do, to find that.
No, it takes time. I mean, you know, right. If you can get all the pieces up and look at it, yeah, once you get it up and where people can look at it, but that's going to be not small effort.
There was a chain reaction on this bridge.
Yeah.
Typical?
Why?
A typical kind of failure?
No. Again, the redundancy. This, and I'm speculating to a significant extent, but people are describing this bridge as fracture critical, which means, again, if one thing goes wrong, then we are into a progressive collapse. If there was redundancy or alternate load paths, one thing going wrong would not bring down the whole bridge. So, yes, what it looks like in the video is that someplace, something failed, a major member, and it dominoed, progressed, and led to, I think it's pretty clear from the video, for example, the center span went down first, which then led to the other spans going down. So what started the center span first, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I won't ask you to speculate. I know that's outside of your home territory. I want to thank you, though, for taking time to talk with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Lowell Grimen, a professor emeritus in the Department of Civil Construction and Environmental Engineering at Iowa State University in Ames. Thanks again. Our program is produced by Karen Vergoth, Anne-Marie Cunningham, and senior producer Annette Heist. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Josh Rogerson and Neil Rausch are at the controls today. And if you'd like to write us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. We have some interesting blogs going on there. We have videos, science videos. We'd love you to send us some of your science videos. Also, we have podcasting, back issues of Science Friday, all kinds of interesting stuff that's there for you to download. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.